Last night, we looked briefly at what Paul might have believed about Christ's love. This morning, from the same verse, the fact that Paul tells us Christ died for us, I asked you to consider at least one of the character traits of Christ that seems to be so obvious, so consistent with what we know about God, that of mercy and patience, and how that's wrapped in together. Dan will be sharing some helpful insights with us in just a few moments, but for my time with you, I want to try to hammer home one idea. We're basically, I think I would like you to ask the so what question. So what that Christ loved us? So what that His love led Him to die for us? But what exactly do we do now? There's any number of ways that could be approached, but I'd like to back up to an episode in Jesus' life and deal with that very briefly. You will remember that on one particular occasion, a young man asked Jesus, he said, "Lord, what's the top priority with God? What's the thing that God thinks is most important? What's the thing that if you're going to leave something out in life, you don't want to leave this out?" Or in the words of the young man, he said, "Jesus, what's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus was a good Jew. He had been brought up and schooled in the Old Testament, so I doubt that his answer was a surprise to anybody, but the words were nonetheless profound. And he said, "In reality, there are two great commandments, and they walk side by side. The first one is, you're to love God with all of your heart. And the second one is, you're to love people as you love yourself." Well, when we consider what our response is to be to Jesus Christ for having given salvation, for having loved us, and we ask, "Well, what do I do?" That's probably as good a place to grab a hold as anything we're going to do. Love God with all of our hearts and love people as we love ourselves. Now, that word love we need to deal with just a second. We will miss the meaning of what it means to love people if we interpret, and what it means to love God, if we interpret the word in terms of feelings. You know, the Savior was not saying that we're to feel funny toward God or we're to feel funny toward others. Now, the fact of the matter is there are a lot of strong feelings in life, and sometimes, you know, there's strong feelings toward the Lord, and we just bubble over with worship and devotion. Now, there are other times we don't feel anything at all toward God. In fact, there are times we can be discouraged, we can be depressed. But that has nothing to do with our loving of God. Rather, we would interpret loving of God not in terms of a feeling, but in terms of an action. And Jesus seemed to be suggesting you're to relate to God in a special way. You're to respect God and reverence God and honor God and obey God. You're to love God with all of your hearts. But now the second part of that commandment, the second commandment, for the last quarter of a century has meant increasingly more to me, and that's probably because for the preceding quarter of a century it didn't mean that much. And that is loving people as you love yourself. And men and women, the older I get, the more convinced I am, at least for my life, that probably the clearest evidence that I'm going to demonstrate about whether or not I love God is by how I treat people. Because it's simply ludicrous to talk about loving God and not love those around us. And again, to not interpret loving people by feeling funny toward them. I don't believe Jesus was saying, "I want you to feel funny toward people," but rather, "I want you to love them. I want you to love people as you love yourself." And I think by that, he was simply saying, "I want you to treat people the way you'd like to be treated." Well, I want you to help me with that just a second. When you think of how you like to be treated by people, what are some ways? What's something that you would say, "You know, that's really how I like to be treated"? What would you suggest? Let's just hear a few suggestions. And I'll try to repeat them so we can get them on the tape. So when you say something profound, we'll pick it up. How would you like to be treated?
Welcome.
Pardon?
Welcome.
Yeah, you'd like to be welcomed. And you can just let your mind run with that, whatever that means. I think that's true. Yeah, I'd like to be respected. Sure, I'd like to be treated with respect. What else?
Honesty.
Pardon?
Honesty.
Yeah, honesty. I'd like to have people relate to me honestly. What else?
I'd like to be served.
You like to be served? Yeah, that's my gift too, son. Sometimes new students at the seminary say, do we call you Professor Thompson or do we call you Dr. Thompson? And I'll pause, you know, very regally, and I will say, Your Majesty has a nice ring to it. But I'm sorry. I like being served too. What else?
Like to be needed.
Like to be needed? Yeah, what else? Yeah.
Carrie likes encouragement.
Yeah, I like to be encouraged too. What else? How would you want to be treated? Yes?
To be listened to.
Yeah, to be listened to. Yeah, that's great. What else? Pardon? Yeah, accepted. Like to feel like you're not having to earn your way into being accepted, but somebody just accepts you. Yeah, I'd like that too. What else? Yeah, wanted. Well, we could keep going with that list for a long time, but I think what Jesus was saying in reality was, men and women, you are to treat people with dignity and with respect because that's how you'd like to be treated. And apparently God thinks that's very important. I didn't spend nearly enough time in my initial days as a follower of Jesus reading the Old Testament prophets. And I didn't spend nearly enough time paying attention to the Gospels. Other than that, I was a pretty solidly biblical person. There are really only two types of verses that I have trouble with. I shared this with you last year. Those that I don't understand, those that I do understand. And when you read the Old Testament prophets and you read the Gospels, you come up with some very discomforting verses. You come up with verses that lead you to believe that God thinks we're to treat people with dignity and respect, and we're to help people who are hurting, and we're to care for people who need care, and we're to feed people who are hungry, and we're to listen to people who need to be listened to, and we're to forgive people who need to be forgiven. And then Jesus comes along in his maddening way and just expands on all of that. In fact, at one particular time, one of the worst things that Jesus Christ ever said, I wish they could find that this was not in the original manuscripts and get it out of there, but almost all scholars agree that it was. When he said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. So we do not want to make the fatal error of interpreting loving other people as meaning loving those that we like. But Jesus was saying, no, I want you to treat people with dignity and respect, including those you don't like. And then he had the maddening consistency to model that with his life. Well, I've thought a lot about that over the years. How in the world do we go about treating people the way we'd like to be treated? Let me give you three or four ideas and then I'll be finished. First of all, since Paul has said in the verse, Christ's great love and that he died for all of us, I think one of the ways we would say all of us need a commitment for people to say that if I did not know the gospel and I did not know that Christ's forgiveness was available to me, I hope somebody would care enough to tell me that. At least give me the chance to believe. Wouldn't you? I mean, I would hope to God that if I didn't know that story, that somebody would care enough to get into a relationship with me so maybe they could have a chance to tell me that. Now, what that tells me is if that's what I would want, then that needs to be something to which I aspire. That I need to give people the opportunity to hear the story and to say to them that there is a forgiveness to be gained and a new life to be experienced. But I think it's more than just that. I think I would want, well, this thing of treating people with dignity. Gosh, I don't know all that that means. I had an interesting experience about 2 weeks ago. My wife and I were in the city in San Francisco. And we just went in to spend a night in a hotel and have a great time and hang around. And we went to a blues club and listened to some live music and stuff like that. And it was really a good time. But it was raining that evening and we were walking up down the streets, window shopping and stuff, and we had our windbreakers on and hoods up and all of that. A lot of homeless people in San Francisco. And several of them asked me for money and I ignored them. And I never know what to do in that kind of situation, and I'm never always impressed to do that. Or not always impressed to do that. But just as we were standing in line outside a restaurant to go in to enjoy our meal in a very nice restaurant, a homeless gentleman came up to me and he said, "Sir, I'm hungry. Could you give me some money for food?" Well, I know, like you know, that we really never know what's going on. But I had something about him, and I thought, well, you know, it's not my job to judge this. So there happened to be a fast food place right across the way where he would not have to go in and sit down, and I figured he wouldn't be at ease doing that. So I said, "Well, why don't you come on over and I'll buy you some food?" I said, I won't give you money, but I'll buy you some food. So we walked over, and it was in a little hamburger place. But as we were standing there in line, about 20 of us, I began to get uncomfortable because I thought, you know, if I were him, I would already be very embarrassed that I had to ask somebody to buy me food. And now I've got this guy standing beside me in the line acting like my dad, and he's going to pay my food and then he's going to hand it to me. And I thought, this must be embarrassing. And I found myself asking the question, how can I treat this guy with some dignity? And I really couldn't come up with anything other than just putting my hand, you know, calmly down to my side so nobody would know it, and slipping that $5 bill into his hand and saying, "Enjoy your meal." And I turned and walked out. I'm not sure that was the right thing to do. I'm very well aware he could have turned and walked out the back door and spent that money on something else. I am very well aware of that. But I had to ask myself, if it were me, how would I want to be treated? And I think I'd want to have what small amount of dignity I had left protected. You know? Whatever Jesus meant by, love people the way you love yourself, I think dignity had a part of it. I think, though, just serving people in general, I think Jesus would have said that loving people has to do with serving. I want to say a word to you as directly as I can put it. You're an interesting group, and you have come to the kingdom at an interesting time. Now, some of you are in danger of graduating from college. Some of you will be someday. And you're going to get jobs. I mean, it's going to happen. Our society right now is as affluent and doing as well economically as we've ever done in our history. We are rolling. People are making money hand over fist. People your age are making money hand over fist. Some of you will make more money your first year out than I made before I'd been a professional 20 years and had a PhD in front of my name. I mean, you will make a lot of money. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I do not believe there's anything wrong with making money or anything. But I would say to you, men or women, if I was a follower of Jesus Christ, I would have to ask myself, in this great time of affluency, where some of us in the world have so much, what might God want us to do for those who don't have very much? And how should that affect the way I look when I get my first job and they're paying me more money than I ever dreamed they'd pay me? You know, do I go and I immediately spend it on myself, or do I ask myself, now how would I like to be treated if I were on the other side? Richard Foster has said about our generation, about the Western world, he said, we buy things we do not need to impress people we do not like. That's pretty much the story of the American way. BMW, I live in Marin County. We joke that BMW stands for Basic Marin Wheels. We are enormously affluent. I think that somewhere in there that you and I have to ask ourselves, how am I to treat people who do not have as much as I have? Because Jesus' example is maddeningly consistent. And the Old Testament prophets just scream at us. You know, they were screaming at Israel, saying, you think God's not going to notice that you've got poor people in your midst and you don't care? You think God's not going to notice that you're not taking care of the fatherless? You're not taking care of the homeless? You think God's not going to notice? And the prophets were saying, there is a day of reckoning coming and God will square your account, Israel. Well, I wonder what God would say to us. And I think whatever else Jesus was saying, he was saying, in treating people with dignity means we take seriously that there are people who don't have what we have. And we ask, how can I be involved in that? And one other thing, and that'll probably be enough. I think one of the things that we do in treating people as we like to be treated, we understand how valuable it is to just care about somebody else. Because we know how valuable that is when somebody cares for us. Last year, I was not doing very well one day at work at school, and one of my family members was struggling with something. It was very painful. It had been a long time struggle and wasn't doing well, and I was pretty low, pretty discouraged because I couldn't help. And I was walking down the hall at the seminary, and one of my colleagues said, "How you doing?" And I said, "I'm all right. You know, I'm all right." And he said, "Well, why don't you come in? Let's talk about it." And we sat down in his office, and he said, "Tell me what's going on." And I started trying to tell him, and I couldn't get through it, you know, and my voice would break, and my eyes would fill with tears. Now, he had absolutely nothing to say to make that better. There was nothing he could do to make that better. He just sat there quietly with tears in his eyes, and he hurt with me. And that's all he could do. But you know, that was a wonderful, wonderful ministry. He cared about me. And just by his presence, he said, you know, he was saying, "I'd do anything in the world if I could solve this for you. I can't solve it, but I love you. And I'm willing to just sit here with you and hurt and go through this." And men and women, I think there are times when we walk through life that's maybe all we can do for somebody. We can't solve it. We can't cure it. We can't make it go away. We can't fix it. But we can walk with somebody in the midst of it. One of my favorite verses is in Ecclesiastes. It's not written about the Christian life because Ecclesiastes was written hundreds of years before Christ was born. It's more about life. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 says this. It says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls, the one will lift up the companion. But woe to the one who falls when there's not another to lift him up." Now what that verse basically says is life is like a walk. And any walk contains with it occasionally stumbling and falling. But the writer said, stumbling and falling doesn't have to be fatal unless you happen to be walking by yourself and you can't get up. So as we think about what it means to follow Jesus Christ and to manifest Christ's love and Christ's character in the world, what it means, I think, as much as anything else, is to be in meaningful daily relationships with people, walking along with them, learning to treat them with dignity, learning to serve them, learning to meet their needs, being with them during good times and during bad times, and just loving them, because I think that's how we'd like to be treated. At least I would recommend that to you for your consideration. Let's pray. Father, there is none of us that's very good at loving those around us. We are very good at talking about that. And as a group, we would confess that to you, and we would pray that we might be followers of Christ who don't follow so much with our lips but follow with our lives. Teach us what it means to love people in Jesus' name, whether that means sharing the gospel with someone or simply sharing a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. I thank you for these men and women. I do not know the direction of their lives or the paths that they will travel, but I pray that you will remind them each minute of each day that they are to be different people because they follow a different Savior. We'll trust you for that. In Christ's name, amen.